Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
2 out of 3, in the midst of all this revelation of what's happening in abortion across Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yes. Wow.
And we're going to have this on a future program. The executive director for Center for Medical Progress. But Albuquerque, New Mexico, according to him, is they abort up to the time the baby.
No abortion laws.
And we have this. Laws. This happened. You can see this on the VFN Torch. I mean, you have to be 18 years or older. But this, they just don't value life. And remember this: if somebody doesn't value your neighbor's life, they don't value yours. And if you haven't read the book, I believe it's called Fatherhood by Dr. Dobson, you got to read it. Baby boomers, you got to read this book, because the future is they won't check. If this continues on, they won't check us into nursing homes. They'll check us into the end-of-life processes. Because in this book, this lady's son, John, you know, who you love your children. According, of course, over in Georgia, we're here seeing some things. We'll talk about that in the future. They just had a bad moment.
Yeah.
They tried to kill you. Give them a, you know, anyway. And so, but you got to read, it's a good read, but it's Dr. Dobson, if anybody knows about family and fathering it. And so this mother, you know, she's up in age, so she's in and out a little bit, and you love your son, and so she's talking to her son. And he's saying to her, well, Mom, you want to do this? I know you always wanted me to be able to get my degree. You know, you always wanted me to be a teacher or something like that. And so he had his college tuition there. And this is going to help me get my tuition and pay for it. You know you always wanted me to be successful. And so she's in and out, because it's kind of hard for us to comprehend, like, are you really going to kill this baby? Are you really going to kill your mother?
Right.
And what he was trying to do, it looked like he was checking her into an assisted living facility where she was going to have friends and that type of thing, but it was a dead-end zone. She was actually signing paperwork that checked her into the end of life.
Wow.
And they were going to give her a particular drug, the way they do babies, I guess, in the womb, that was going to kill her. And as politicians, the whole thing talks about how it was so intertwined between politics and this particular drug they were supporting was the very drug that is going to end
his mother's life.
And it was just a great
transference of wealth that was going to happen to this young man.
It was going to go from mama to son.
Wow.
You have to, for some reason, this generation don't understand. You need to get your own job. You need to go out and work.
Lord.
You know, we got to empower. I mean, people think if you tell your children you're going to need to work, because there's so many, you know, 1 out of 8 in the 80s, young people were considered narcissists, according to CBS News. Now, 1 in every 3 are considered narcissistic.
Wow.
1 in every 3.
Wow.
And, you know, and they really, when you're talking to a narcissist, they're just going to say, how does this apply to me? You know, and so this son in this book, Fatherhood by Dobson, we'll make it available to you on the Torch, how to get it, is he's basically talking his mother in, without using the words, in your life. So all the resources you're going to use from this point on in nursing homes, assisted living facility, medical, just breathing and buying groceries, medicines, it'll go to me for my education. And she's in and out because as a parent, you're going like, are you really trying to kill me?
You can't possibly be telling me to end my life, right?
Okay, I'm trying to get this straight. I mean, I think about it right now. You know, if we don't value children's life, we don't have this clip. Do we have the clip available for the Good Morning America interview of the parents that just had their sons drug them? And this is happening. Them. If we don't value our children's life in the womb, they won't value our life. This particular family in Georgia, they were going to have their sons fixed them a meal. They ate the meal. And they had no idea their sons drugged them with drugs. And they were going to go to bed and their sons were going to kill them, according to their reports. In their sleep, they beat their own mother, stabbed their own father. As a matter of fact, this is Robin Roberts, I believe her name is, with Good Morning America, talking to the parents. And the parents are coming out going, they had a bad moment. Take a look at this.
A Georgia couple whose 2 sons allegedly drugged and brutally attacked them in their home This case drawing national attention, especially after these parents publicly forgave their sons. It's still a mystery why the sons did it, and they have not entered a plea and have not been convicted of anything. We spoke to Yvonne and Zachary Irvin just moments ago, but first, a look at their story.
Please send someone to my house. My children are trying to kill me.
It's the chilling 911 call that stunned the nation.
My husband has distracted them, and I was just able to get to the phone. Please hurry.
An unimaginable scenario. 22-year-old Christopher Irvin and his 17-year-old brother Cameron allegedly attacking their parents, and police say attempting to burn down their suburban Atlanta home.
Okay, how did they try and kill you, ma'am?
They're trying to strangle us and shoot us, and they put Xanax in our food, and they thought we were asleep. They tried to attack us.
Minutes later, police arrived, discovering Zachary Irvin stabbed and covered in blood. The 50-year-old reportedly telling them his son hit him on the head with a shotgun. His wife, Yvonne, found lying beside their bed, badly beaten.
She not been able to make that 911 call. It's very uncertain what would have happened.
The sons, now behind bars, charged with two counts of felony aggravated assault and first-degree arson. Both will be tried as adults, facing as many as 60 years in prison. This morning, despite the horror their sons put them through that night, Zachary and Yvonne say they are standing by their sons. And joining us now are Yvonne and Zachary Irvin. Good morning to you both. Thank you for being here. I know that you had to spend some time in the hospital. How are your wounds healing, both of you?
Well, for me, I'm doing a lot better, both physically and mentally. God has really been good to me and helped my wounds to heal fast. I still have, you know, a couple of little scars here and there, but for the most part, they're healing really well.
And Zachary, you spent the most time in the hospital.
Yep, and I'm healing fine. You know, God has truly worked a miracle.
And I know you're here to deliver a message to people, but before we get to that, what happened? Can you tell us what happened?
Well, we don't know what happened. I mean, it's just, our kids had one bad moment. You know, it was one bad moment. And God will reveal in time to us and to the world, you know, get all the answers, the questions answered, you know, and things of that nature. But for now, you know, we just need to focus on healing.
But you can understand people, especially watching at home, who have children.
Absolutely.
The question is why? Why? That comes over again and again. Yvonne, were there any kind of signs, signals, anything? What was her behavior before this happened?
And that's the crazy part. Nothing. I mean, our children had prepared dinner for us the night before. You know, that's why when in the call, you know, I told you in the call that I found out during the whole process there had been Xanax put in our drinks. So we were drugged. We just didn't know what had happened. We didn't know, but we said we forgive our boys because that was totally out of character for them. They're not violent. They've never gotten in any type of trouble with
no
violence.
Behavioral issues or drug issues or anything?
Just common teenagers.
As a teenager, you know, they have issues with, you know, cleaning their room and, you know, having attitudes sometimes when you tell them to do something. Just like every family, I'm sure, experiences, but nothing that would indicate anything like this.
It was shocking to some people when the police report indicated that one of your sons said since the age of 11, he had been thinking of something like this, which makes some people speculate, what was going on in the home for a child to having these thoughts for so long?
Again, we don't know. We just don't know.
Have you had a chance to communicate at all with your sons, to talk with them at all?
Yes.
And what have you said to them, and what have they said to you?
Well, we communicated to our sons that we love them unconditionally. We told them that we forgive them, you know. We told them to, you know, as always, anytime there's an issue or something like that, I've always taught my sons that there's going to be consequences, whether it's something you do good or whether it's something you do bad. They had one bad moment.
And I know you're calling on the public, too, to hopefully be able to forgive your sons as
you
have.
Absolutely. absolutely. You know, people don't know our son, so that may be easy for them to say, well, I can't forgive. But if it was, I ask people to just take it personally. What if it was your child? What if it was your son? What if it was your relative, your friend?
And you did say these types of actions lead to consequences. You've said that. What do you feel the consequences should be for your son?
That's up to God to determine that, you know. I just pray for mercy.
You keep referring to it as one bad moment.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that are going to say that is putting it mildly. They attempted
it's not mildly.
To do what they did, mm-hmm. to attack you as they did,
right.
That's a bad moment?
Yeah, there's people who are incarcerated now that have had one bad day, you know. There are people who, you know, are put in certain situations to where, you know, rage or something has caused them to have one bad moment. And that's why I keep saying it's one bad moment. By no means am I discounting what has happened. You know, I look at my wife, I look at her scars, I look at, you know, the things that happen. I look at me.
Your faith is remarkable, and your faith has certainly been tested. So the final message, Yvonne, that you want for people this morning?
Well, the final message I think for me is just, like I said, study the word, because that's what's going to help you through any situation.
Well, Yvonne and Zachary, I know this is not an easy time for your family and for you to come forward and share your story as you have. We thank you.
Thank you.
And wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Going
thank
forward.
You.
My heart goes out to these parents. I mean, what's happening in society today, basically everything's against authority and the authority of the parents. But think about this. They're saying one bad moment. One bad moment. And it justifies everything in their hearts, you know, basically right. what you're seeing. But you tell me this. And by the way, the book is Fatherless, as you're seeing right here on your screen, Fatherless by Dr. James Dobson. You got to get this book because we're going to, this son is taking his mother into the place basically that we would think is assisted living or nursing home. But it's actually, if she signs this piece of paper, they're going to kill her. And all of her inheritance goes to them. What happened to these parents? Those kids wanted their money and their wealth. They wanted everything that they had. Mm-hmm. It was just one bad moment. But what does everybody tell you that decides to go to a Planned Parenthood or somewhere else? They say, listen, this pregnancy was one bad moment. We just need to take the life of these parents. Oh, I'm sorry. The life of this baby and move on past this one bad moment. To me, that was so profound. As a matter of fact, Mother Teresa, in the face of President Bill Clinton and his wife at that time, Hillary Clinton, she told them exactly how evil this is in taking the life of children. If we don't defend the life of children, don't you understand? It's going to be just like what happened in this Atlanta, Georgia home, with this Marietta, Georgia home where it was in Georgia.
Yeah.
It's going to be just like that. If we don't value their life, why would that? And that's a spirit. So why wouldn't that spirit come on them not to value? They did not value their parents' life. Let's listen to Mother Teresa and what she said about abortion.
But I feel that the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion. Because Jesus said, if you receive a little child, you receive me. So every abortion is the denial of receiving Jesus, is the neglect of receiving Jesus.
If you look at that, everybody's applauding what Mother Teresa's saying, except two people.
Wow.
It was on her right hand, our left hand, looking at the TV. You know who that was? That was Bill and Hillary Clinton, President Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. They did not think the same way. They did not value life. And you know what? If we don't value our children's life, all the way from the time that they're conceived, guess what? They're not going to baby boomers, we're huge. They're not going to value our life. This is what I believe the word of the Lord is to America.
Yeah.
We have to value all life. Everyone's life is valuable. John, I just highly recommend for our viewers and our listeners to get the book Fatherless by Dr. Dobson. I mean, it is a story that helps merge the governmental, political, politician who's actually benefiting off power and money, the business CEO who's actually producing this particular drug, and the son. It goes zooms in on the son, who's basically getting his mother to sign away her life so this drug that these politicians and CEO approved of can take her life so she could take her money. But tell me this, John. Tell me this. Isn't the truth the reason why somebody takes the life of their baby is because they wanted the money that the baby would use up? They wanted the time that the baby would use up. So if you kill, I mean, who's to say, and
follow
I don't know.
Follow the money. It's always follow the money.
Who's to say, and I don't know this, but what if these two sons, they had eight other brothers and sisters, but they waited to a more appropriate time to you know, it's like, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, Moloch, you know, wow. Which child are you going to keep? They abort. They didn't. I'm just saying this as an example.
Right.
They abort eight of their children. They decide to have these last two, and they are the ones they keep.
Mm.
And so there's a spirit of death over that whole thing. And, of course, they might not know it, but Satan knows it. You know, Ephesians 6:12 says we wrestle against spiritual wickedness, and that without repentance, that thing is looming over there. And now all of a sudden, one night when they sleep, when the baby was sleeping in the womb, going through the normal processes of growth, all of a sudden the bright light came on in a Planned Parenthood because the veil of the womb was busted. And the baby had yet to see the first light the baby sees are the instruments of these people who are going to kill it. And all of a sudden, they pour in some sort of chemical solution. All of a sudden, they start grabbing at his arm, grabbing at his leg, pulling, crushing body parts, thinking about, we can sell this, we can sell that, we can sell this.
Mm.
Because that baby would have cost me my time. It would have cost me my life. This is just one bad moment. This is just one bad moment. We'll get beyond this. I'm sure God forgives me. I mean, this is my 10th child that I've done this way. With no repentance whatsoever. This is what the Lord told me. And as we were walking out the Malachi mandate, and hopefully there'll be a link available to you on the VFN Torch to understand this. For 10 years, we walked out this prophetic Malachi mandate. And Malachi says, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 says, you know, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, he would send the spirit of Elijah, or send Elijah, and he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. So there was an optional thing. Will the hearts turn? For 10 years, we're prophesying, turn your hearts. This is the word. If you don't turn your hearts to your children, they'll turn their guns to you. And that's exactly what just happened in Georgia. The strange thing is, it's like we've been turned over with reprobate minds. Nobody even senses how bad that is and how brokenhearted we should be for these parents who don't understand. They just beat you with the butt of a gun and stabbed you and drugged you, and they wanted everything that you have. They don't understand. You need to go out and get a job. You need to go out and be educated. You need to go out, and they're just going to take it from their parents. But isn't that exactly what we did to our children? 57 million children since 1973. If I have this child, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to have to quit my job. If I have this child, I'll have to share my money. If I have this child, it won't be about me anymore. It'll be about me and my child.
Mm.
So I'm going to just take one bad moment. I'm going to go to a Planned Parenthood clinic or Albuquerque, New Mexico. Reports are you can go there up till the second before the baby's born.
Mm.
These are the reports. And you can have, it's just one bad moment. Beating the baby with the butt of the gun, stabbing it with the doctor's knives, breaking it apart, sending it out. Look at all the denial. We've done so much of this. I believe we've done so much of this, 57 million, more than any loss of any war that we've ever had since the Revolutionary War.
By far.
By far. Maybe 25 times as many deaths. And so many of us have done this. That's why you're seeing the nation going, we can't face this. Let's just go on. It was just one bad moment. You know, let's keep funding Planned Parenthood. Let's just say that it's not taking up a life. And as Hillary Clinton said, you know, in the last 90 days or so, we're not going to go back.
Mm.
I mean, you can't ever undo death, but we can repent for it. You know, we can say those children were important. They were very important, and they're very important to God. And we talk about the laws that are being passed right now, and people are saying, you know, this latest law about marriage is the big law. If you read the Bible, that wasn't the issue was— there was so much innocent bloodshed done by Manasseh and all of their crew that when Josiah finally got the scriptures and began to read them. His secretary read them to him. He understood God was angry with Israel, with Jerusalem, with Israel, and he was going to bring judgment down because of all the innocent bloodshed. It wasn't about sexual practices. It was about the innocent bloodshed.
Mm.
It was the innocent bloodshed. Yes, you know, everything, sin is sin. But if you're killing, if you kill somebody, it's worse than what you did sexually. You know, murder is worse. You know, it's killing is bad. And so we can repent. Our God forgives us. Our God forgives us. But we have to first acknowledge it. We can't say we had one bad moment. We got to say it was sin, God. It was sin. And God knows it's sin. So he's not like, oh, really? He's going, you finally got it. And imagine if these kids go back to these parents and go, we've been plotting all along. We've been evil. We wanted, we lusted after your money and after your wealth and your insurance. And all we want to do is just serve you the rest of our life. And if somehow we can repent before you, you know, and live our life out in honor of you, those parents, they're forgiving now. You can imagine them just going, you know, I forgive you. And if men know how to forgive, our God forgives. But we first have to say, this is not one bad moment.
Hmm.
This is the taking of innocent life. I want to pray right now and pray for us. Please remember to pray for us. Father God, I just pray right now for our audience. I pray, Lord, that you would touch us. You would touch our audience, that you would help us and forgive us, Lord, of all these 57 million bad moments that we've had in our nation since 1973. God, forgive us for the sin of abortion, Lord God. Prevent, Lord, the death of the elderly. Help us to value all life, Lord God. Help us to understand that you're the giver of life and you're the only one that can take life, Lord God. Lord God, we ask you to forgive us for the sin of murder across this land and all the innocent bloodshed like Josiah did, Lord. And we want to live rightly before you, Lord God. We ask you, Lord, end abortion, end the division and the strife that's in all the families' homes where there is no peace. There's only truces. The peace will come again to the families of America. Peace would come to marriages. Peace would come in our homes. Peace would come in the church. And life would be honored again. Dear God, end abortion. Send revival. We ask in Jesus' name. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.